If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's special, very special edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and I've been watching Survivor for 20 years. With me, of course, is my co-host Jessica Lewis, who has been watching Survivor for
20 years.
Yes, okay.
Crazy, right?
Yes, I know. And we are here today as part of the special series on Rob Has a Podcast during the off season, looking back at various episodes of the show that we've loved for two decades.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week was Know It Alls, The Wiggle Room, and the B&B, and now we're here to wrap it all up.
That's right. It's been a very interesting to be going back in time watching Survivor versus watching Survivor now as it happens. It's crazy to be doing, but I love it.
Yeah. And now, under normal circumstances, each week, you know, we look at not just what happened on TV, but also CBS All Access clips, which didn't exist at the time, social media, which didn't exist at the time, and interviews, which we do have. And this time, I also have a special source of additional information.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah. We examine how the player who was voted out did in comparison to rules I originally wrote way back after season one and have been modifying ever since. Now, regular listeners know I say that every week, but let's go back and parse it. I created these rules after season one.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're judging Sonia against guidance that didn't even exist at the time.
Right.
Even more, like I say, I've been modifying these rules for two decades now. You know, as we start moving through other seasons, as, you know, this off season project goes on, I may try to go back and see what the rules were like at the time compared with how they are now. But Sonia had only her wits to go on. And so many of these players really didn't know what to do. With all that said, anyone who wants to check out the most recent version of the rules can go to robhasawebsite.com/blog/survivorrules. Or you can get the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form at tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2.
Yes, and they are only $20, 11 by 17 frame, fits them beautifully. If you are outside of the United States, I know I've said this before, but I can certainly make arrangements with you, DM me through Twitter, and I can send that out to you wherever you may reside. So if you are outside of the United States, we can make it happen.
Yes. Now, in addition to the poster, we also have another way to get the rules so you can always have them with you. And that, of course, is T-shirt form.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click the merch link at the top of the screen and then, sort so the new items are first. The shirts will be right there. We have both men's and women's T-shirts available.
Yes. So you can hang it on your wall and you can wear it on your back. Good stuff.
Just make sure you do the right thing with the right item. If you hang your shirt and try to wear your poster, I mean, you can hang the shirt. Mm. Wearing the poster is going to be tough. And those thumbtacks going into your shoulder blades might hurt.
Yeah. And you might be exposing too much for the world. So just make sure you do it the right way.
True. True. I mean, you could get like those double poster boards, you know, those.
Oh, that's
boards.
A fun idea. I like that. That's good.
But then make sure you get two posters. or just get one T-shirt. Anyway, moving into this episode, I figure that I've watched it at least three times prior to this week.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still things I didn't remember, even if I might have written about them before. And some of these are topics I want to discuss before getting to the rules. To start with, it's interesting to me that Richard was doing something at the very beginning that today no sane player would ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, we would be screaming at them. He was sitting there on his tree perch telling everyone they needed to all talk before going off in different directions. I mean, he was right, but he also stuck out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
He was you know, clear the others didn't want to work that way. So once they overruled him or ignored him, he needed to be flexible and go with it rather than debating with Sue further. Like he said in confessional, he thought he had the $1 million check already written, but it's that kind of cocky attitude that makes people hate your guts. So he really needed to find a way to get past it.
But it totally worked for him.
Yes, it did.
That's the unfortunate part about all of this, is that we know what the result is.
Right.
So it's interesting to watch it and wonder, was that the best move for him to do? Mm-hmm. Clearly, it worked out in the end. But yes, if we had no idea who won the season, just watching him in that moment was a little bit like uncomfortable and cringy, because clearly he's, as you said, giving orders, sitting in the tree high above them and kind of trying to delegate. And it was an interesting thing to see him with what he was trying to delegate. It wasn't like he was trying to delegate work. It was this strange, like, let's discuss why we're all here and what the purpose of all of this is. It was an interesting conversation to even start with a group of new people on an island like that.
I mean, remember what his job was, and I don't remember exactly what his job was, but it was like one of those people who gets people together to talk at businesses, you know, like a quality management or something like that. I believe that's what his job was. So he was just lapsing into that role.
Mm-hmm. But I did love the fact that he was so confident in himself, that he had a willingness to do that, because I do think old school Survivor was more acceptable of someone taking charge. And now nobody wants to be seen as a leader. Nobody wants to take control. So I feel like it's a little bit different, because I think in previous seasons, you know, if we look in past seasons, there hasn't been as much issue, I think, with someone who's willing to step up and kind of take a leadership role. Whereas now I do feel like people shy away from it.
I think if you went back and looked, you'd find that they started shying away from it or getting punished for it a lot sooner than you remember.
It's quite possible. Yeah. I'm thinking like Tom. Tom was very, he was very much in a leadership role, and he ended up winning his season. But I feel like that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, there's always going to be exceptions, but you know, I think that people just quickly realized, oh crap, I don't want to be a leader here.
Yes, I do. I think that they realize that for sure.
So now also, as I was watching the episode, I totally forgot that Richard voted against Stacy, not Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, the man who is now known as the father of alliance building was completely alone in the very first vote.
I know. And I'm curious about that, because I almost feel like there was a method to his madness. Obviously, he was close with Rudy and wanted to, I think, really work on that relationship. But at the same time, he seemed to have a relationship forming with Sonia as well. So I don't know if there was some method to that. Maybe he didn't want to hurt Rudy by voting against Sonia, and also didn't want to vote for Rudy, so he threw his vote on Stacy. But it was interesting to see that he was the only one that was kind of kept out of that first vote.
Right, right. Now, looking back to the article I wrote, looking at episode one in retrospect, so what happened was this season aired, okay? And then CBS put it up against the Olympics, because you're not going to put your new programming up against it. So to kind of build off of all the hype, they ran it day after day up against the Olympics. And I wrote a series of articles at the time called, you know, Survivor in Retrospect. So we knew what the outcome was, and now we were looking back at it. And I said, perhaps the most interesting part of the first episode was the irony in who made the first alliance. It wasn't Richard. It wasn't Susan. It was Kelly and Stacy, who allied themselves to get rid of Rudy. Kelly wouldn't succeed in voting him off until they were down to the final three.
Right.
They tried to bring Susan in, but she played sneaky and decided not to vote their way. Kelly would be the one who later decried the Taggy alliance led by Richard, the one who felt it was immoral, the one who tried to break from it. Yet Kelly was playing the alliance game before anybody else. To me, it only made her later protestations that much more dishonest than I already had believed them to be. So that's what I wrote back then.
Look at you.
Yeah. So as you can see, even then, I wasn't a fan of hypocrisy, and I was a fan of strategic thinking. So some things never change.
Well, so that's good. I love that you can go back into your little war chest and pull out all of these old things that you wrote way back then.
Yeah, we'll be doing a lot of that, I suspect, as we go on. Wait till we start talking about next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, you had that situation. And then similarly, we should mention that Sue was really the first person to blindside an alliance because Kelly, Stacey, and Sonia thought she was voting with them against Rudy.
Now, and that was something, too, that I was curious about it. And I know that Steve and Rob discussed this, too. When the idea of a tie, what would have happened in that particular situation? Do we have any idea as to what the rule was back then with a tie? Come on, reach into your war chest.
Probably rocks. But, I don't know.
But if you remember Australia. Oh, no,
you know what? Tie went according to the number of votes you had had.
Yes.
So they must have had a tiebreaker. They must have had that. I'm sure they thought of that.
Because I remember that specifically from Australia where they would go look back at who had more votes cast against them and that person went up going home.
Right.
Now, I don't know what they were doing first season right out the gate, but they could have very well had a tie if Sue hadn't flipped.
Right. Well, if Sue hadn't flipped and Richard had voted with the rest of the guys.
I'm looking at my votes. No, because it was a three. No, it was a 4-3-1.
No, wait.
There's eight.
Yeah.
It was 4-3-1.
Richard, if Richard had voted with the rest of the guys is what I'm saying. And Sue hadn't flipped. It would have been 4-4 guys against the girls.
Mm. Anyway. So,
yeah.
Now that we're learning how to do math.
That's
Can
right.
I just say, I know that you're going into your war chest and you're looking at all of these crazy components of what Survivor used to be. I am fascinated just by the simplicity of it all. And this is why I love Borneo so much, because it was very simple and it was so new and raw, which I think is incredible, because really these people did create the game that we now all know and love. It started here and they really set the stage and did a phenomenal job. Because if you just look at how these people played a game that nobody knew anything about from day one on the beach and were strategizing and coming up with alliances and all of these crazy nuances that nobody even thought would occur. I mean, I think CBS walked into this not knowing what to expect and got everything they ever wanted and more. And now we've got 20 years of it because this season was so phenomenal. So phenomenal.
Yeah. So.
And they got to wear sunglasses. Okay. I'm a little bit jealous.
Got to bring their ukuleles.
I know. All kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, just the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, over on Pagong, we had the first appearance of the beach people versus the shelter people. Essentially, you know, BB was chief shelter person, of course, working his ass off, getting mad at everybody who wasn't, which was pretty much everybody, refusing to listen to Gretchen explain why it was such a bad idea to burn himself out like that. But those two, speaking of burning, also started the first fire ever on Survivor, thanks to his bifocals.
Which I didn't know were modified.
Apparently.
I just learned that today.
Yes.
It's amazing what you learn. But
sneaky,
yes, very sneaky
and
ingenious that he considered that and thought of it. Now, I think CBS would probably be on to if you did something like that. Who knows?
I think people have, you know, snuck certain modifications on anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did you have anything else that besides the simplicity that you mentioned?
I love that it, because it was so new and because it didn't seem as, not that it's scripted. And I know that a lot of people claim that CBS is scripted Survivor. That's not happening. It's not scripted. But it just seemed because it didn't necessarily follow the production that we now see with Survivor. And I miss that component of it being just so kind of simplistic that people are literally just getting, like, I'm going to say interviewed on the beach when they're just standing there and people are behind them and they're being asked questions from production. And it's just really, there was something so just fun about seeing it all kind of develop and what it has turned into. But I know I'll stop reminiscing, but I love it so much because it's it's really great to see. It was really great to see.
Do you wish you had a gong to hit as you were walking into every time?
No. I am happy they got rid of the gong. The gong was weird. And also the chest of money. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot that there was a chest of money, which I can only imagine was just a prop, obviously. But sitting there in tribal council, like that was supposed to have some effect on the voting. And I will say this, too, since I'm talking about tribal council. The fact that Jeff asked maybe three questions, at least what we saw, and everyone kind of talked over each other and it didn't really seem to progress into anything. And then Jeff was like, okay, time to vote.
Yeah.
it's certainly that part of the game, I think, has changed so much. All of it has changed. But I think now Tribal Council is used much more efficiently and also to influence the game in kind of a backhanded way, you know, where Jeff is asking very leading questions and is bringing out information and making people think and respond. Whereas back then it was like a bunch of people sitting around a campfire going, yeah, no, we've been on the beach and things are tough. And, it was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's move on to the rules. Sonia was obviously the oldest woman to play Survivor when she was there, but even to this day, she remains the oldest woman to ever play.
Congrats to her.
Yes. Was it simply the first case of voting out the older woman that we've seen so many times since then? Or was there more to it than that? After 20 years, it's finally time to figure out why Sonia lost.
This is nuts.
So when I first wrote the first rule, it was clear to me that it had to be, it was the most important thing needed to address scheming and plotting. Of course, this was after the whole season was over and we had seen what Richard accomplished. Even he didn't seem to realize how important it was in the first episode, as, you know, as I mentioned. But as we just discussed, there were a few people who realized the power in numbers. Sonia said in her interview with Josh in 2017 that she was approached by Sue with a plan to vote out Rudy, but she admitted that looking back, she didn't make the right strategic moves. Instead of jumping on board the plan as most people would do today, she instead replied that she was to blame for losing the challenge and said she'd be voting her conscience.
Which I've talked about multiple times on this podcast. You can never apologize for the performance because once you say I'm sorry, then people go, oh, you're the one that we can blame for anything. It's not even just your performance in the actual challenge, but voting. As soon as you say I'm sorry and start trying to explain why you did, and I can say this because this is exactly what happened to me, that just puts more fuel on the fire and gets more people looking at you. And she fell into a very real human moment where I'm sorry for my performance and what I caused to have happen in the challenge, which is what any person should do, except when you're playing Survivor. When you're playing Survivor, that's not what you do.
Yeah. And then this whole thing about voting her conscience, I suspect that her conscience was telling her to vote against Stacey, who hadn't been doing much around camp at first and who had told a guide before the game even started that she didn't need to learn to build a shelter because someone else would do that for her. And that statement rubbed Sonia the wrong way. But as Sonia recounted in her recent interview with Dalton Ross, Stacey started working hard that last day, which made Sonia decide it was okay to vote against Rudy with the rest of the women. Or so she thought.
And I think it's interesting, too, that if I'm remembering correctly, didn't she have the conversation with Rich regarding voting out Stacey? Is that where that came from? I feel like he talked to somebody at some point because all of a sudden he was talking about how Stacey seems to be the individual that's being targeted. And I feel like she might have been involved in that, but I could be misremembering.
Could be. I can't remember for sure either.
So if she was, at least then she was scheming and plotting. She was having strategic conversations.
Yeah. sort of.
Give her some credit.
Yeah. Now, we move into the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much. And clearly this wasn't a problem for Sonia since we just discussed how she wasn't scheming and plotting enough.
No, but she was forming relationships. I know we're going to get there, which I think could be part of her scheming and plotting is she wants people, you know, that.
But she didn't do it too much. That's
no, sure. She did not do it too much.
Yeah. Which means we can move pretty quickly to the third rule, which talks about being flexible. Now, we discussed how Sue approached her with a plan, and initially she wasn't sure about it, but then she did come around and vote against Rudy. So I think that shows a bit of flexibility, if a little too late.
Yes, and I'm curious, too, how that conversation ended up ending. If at that moment when the conversation was, let's vote for Rudy, and she seemed to waver, I don't know if she ever went back and talked to Sue again, because Sue clearly ended up not voting with the women. Right. She voted against them. So it's possible that that conversation was never completed, where Sonia didn't go back and say, hey, this is how I'm voting, which is perhaps why Sue voted the way that she did.
Yeah, I very strongly suspect you're right. That, yeah, there wasn't this
very
concept.
Strongly suspect I'm yes. right.
Yes. There is, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I mean, the concept of a check-in had not been invented yet.
Right, right.
So, yeah, she had a conversation with Sue. Sue said, we're all voting this way. Sonia said, well, I don't know if I am. And then she decided to, but probably never circled back to say, oh, by the way, I'm with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, on a different topic, I do want to make note of Rudy's famous saying, I got to fit in, not them. You know, there's more of them than there is of me, which was a perfect example of being flexible. I'm pretty sure that quote used to be in the rules, but when I went back to look at the most recent version, it's not there anymore. Yeah. I may have taken it out when I shortened the rules to move them to Rob Has a Podcast. Yes, that's right. I shortened the rules, Jessica. You know how long they are now.
I wasn't even going to say anything, but my God.
Yeah.
It's incredible if you shortened them and they're still.
Oh, yeah. I shortened them significantly.
28 pages?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, on the website, I think it's 10, but, you know, they're. Long.
I get the elongated version then, I guess.
Yeah.
I get the shortened, elongated version.
Right. So, all right, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. I do think there was a bit of a problem here for Sonia in two ways. First, she was in an emotional position by taking the blame for the challenge loss and basically admitting it would only be fair to vote her out.
Mm-hmm.
Second, she was upset at Stacy because of her comment that we mentioned about not needing to know how to build a shelter. And that combined with Stacy not doing much around camp was causing her to apparently lean towards voting against Stacy instead of voting strategically. Now, we just talked about how she changed it, but that's the way she was leaning when she had that all important conversation. And I think both of those were emotional in nature.
Yeah. And I think that it fits really. If we just look at this moment that they're all engaged in, right? And nobody knows how this game is actually going to develop and how to actually play the game. So again, and she's being very human. Mm-hmm. And so I think all of her responses were very genuine and made sense. But now we have all of these rules that David Bloomberg has created for anyone who watches Survivor. And you know that that's the wrong response to have. But I think for Sonia, it was very genuine. And she was looking at it from a perspective that I think it was surprising, honestly, to see so many people come together for the first vote because they figured out very quickly that's what they needed to do. Yeah. And, you know, and so it wasn't as emotional as you would expect it to be, that there was more of a thought process that was going into it. But initially, yes, I do think that she was, unfortunately, the quick decision was that emotional response as opposed to the strategic one.
Right, right. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, so let's get back to the show. So we can move on to the fifth rule, which is all about the social game and reminds players that they need to pretend to be nice. In Mark Burnett's book, Survivor, the official companion book to the CBS television show. So this is the This is the lovely additional information here.
Got props.
Got props. Well, not just props. This was an information source.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I opened this book and I had highlighted portions. Now, I have no idea why certain things were highlighted. Like, I opened it up and I'm reading about the first few days. And there's one part that's highlighted that says, but when Bibi attempted a coup upon seeing Gretchen retching, then attempted his coup. That's all that's highlighted. First of all, kind of poor writing by Mark Burnett talking about, you know, that sentence is terrible. Maybe I was highlighting terrible sentences. I don't know.
Honestly, that's what I was thinking. You were going through doing grammatical changes to the book.
Okay, that wouldn't surprise me. But I
was fascinating.
Why on earth would I have highlighted that? I'm looking to see if there's anything else. Maybe I bought a used version and someone else had highlighted it, but I don't think so. Oh,
when
I also
did you actually buy it?
I think I bought it right after the first season when it was new.
So
I think it was new.
Then I doubt you bought a used version.
Right. I know. That's what I'm thinking. I also highlighted skinny dipping together. That's it. I not the rest of the sentence. Just
it was a reminder for you to go back and watch that scene again.
Well, yeah, it wasn't even a scene. I don't think it was. Yeah. I mean, those are like the only two things that were highlighted in the first chapters.
This could be a whole podcast, just us discussing why you highlighted certain random things in a book.
Yeah, here we go. The Bond of Greed. Okay.
You highlighted that?
Yes, I highlighted that in a different color. These are in orange now instead of yellow.
Wait, whoa, time out. You have multiple colors of highlighter throughout the book.
Apparently. I don't know. I mean, that's what it looks like.
Is there like a color code? Is there like
there's
a key
no code
anywhere?
I have no idea what this is. Maybe I was sending a message to my future self, but I have no idea what it is.
That's fascinating. I like that.
It goes on. The next one is overhear crew dialogue about other castaways' behavior.
Overhear crew dialogue of other castaways' behavior?
Yes. So it was talking about Stacy being manipulative and trying to do that. But I didn't highlight the whole sentence, just those words. I have no idea.
Do you know what I hope? I hope one of your sons took this book just to mess with you
just
randomly
and
highlighted stuff. So years later, you'd be sitting on your podcast going, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I highlight that?
Here's the next one. He locked down Boom Down.
What?
Maybe I am highlighting the bad sentences here. He locked down Boom Down.
I think that's exactly what's happening. Or your children were messing with you. Each one is a great reason for highlighting. But the different colors, though, that throws me a little bit.
The yellow must have just run out and I ended up with, going to orange. But okay, so we've gone far afield here.
I'm sorry, everyone. We got a little distracted.
Yes.
By Bloomberg's highlighting.
Okay. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, I should auction this off and the winner can try to figure out what code I'm sending.
That's amazing.
Anyway. By the way, we're in Rule 5 and we're talking
back
about
the rules.
And so the reason I talked about the book was that Mark Burnett said on day one, Sonia was the emotional heart and soul of the tribe and no one disliked Sonia.
I've heard very great things about Sonia, that she was very well liked. Just, I hate to use the term like motherly, but you know that she really was, and I've said it before, she's genuine responses, seemed like a genuine person, certainly didn't have to pretend to be nice. She sat there playing her ukulele and singing songs. I mean, come on. How can you not just appreciate someone who does that?
Yeah. Well, you may have hated to use the word motherly, but Mark Burnett said that she was playing the part of the lovable, benevolent grandmother who entertained them, hugged them, and made the island more like home.
Yeah. That's a fine thing to do. If that's where you fit and that's where you're going to, that's your role and you want to step into it, great, because it would have worked for her, I think, but for other reasons that we've discussed and we'll continue to discuss. But yeah, I mean, that was her lane And she was, she found herself in it, and that's what she went with.
Yeah. Now, I do have to note that, Sonia told Dalton Ross that after an incident with building a shelter where she had told the guys to do something and they ignored her, but then when Kelly told them to do it, they listened. She decided to pull back. She said, "They're going to find out who I am with time, so I'm just going to be in the background and do the work that needs to be done," and so forth. And that was a mistake. I pulled back. And so sadly, they didn't really get to know who I was. Now, to me, it's difficult to reconcile these two different viewpoints. One possibility is that Mark Burnett didn't quite get it right. Maybe that's why I was highlighting those bad sentences. there were some other parts of the first chapter I read that there were a couple things that directly contradicted what we saw on screen.
Hmm.
So maybe it was his interpretation that she was the heart and soul of the tribe, but others weren't quite thinking of her that way. After all, he can't read their minds. He can only go by what they say.
Right. But I also think that we should think Kelly, what wasn't Kelly like, I don't know, she had some type of an outdoor type. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember what Sonia did either. But I don't know, maybe Kelly had a little bit more familiarity with outdoor types of things. And so they were willing to listen to her versus Sonia. I don't know.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, it's not so much what happened, but rather her reaction to it. Of, she says now she pulled back and that wasn't good for her game.
Right.
It's hard to say, you know, you have these two different things going on. So I don't know the answer, but I also don't know that it would have made much, if any, difference. You know, if she really did retreat from her social game, obviously that's a mistake. I, as we'll see as we continue to move on here, I don't know that it would have made a difference. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. Don't really think we have anything to talk about here.
Yeah, no, I don't think she was too much of a threat.
Yeah. Seventh rule covers idols and advantages, and we clearly don't have anything to cover in this rule because neither of those had even been invented yet.
Fascinating, right? Survivor without idols and advantages.
Yeah. So Appendix A we get to, which is about the rest of the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. Now, we know that the rules weren't written yet, but even when they were written, this appendix was a rule in the early versions when it directed players simply to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Sonia clearly was targeted due to perceived weakness, especially in that first challenge.
Yeah, and I have to say, it was a hard thing to watch, really, seeing her struggle, because she was trying really hard to keep up with them, and the rules were very clear. You had to keep, everyone had to have their hand on that raft, and she was definitely trying to do that, but she was spent. And so I do think that seeing her performance in that challenge made a lot of them realize that if the challenges continue to be like this, because like I said, everyone's learning. Nobody knows what to expect yet. Then chances are she was going to put them in a very difficult spot moving forward.
Yeah. So just to recap for everybody, if you didn't go back and rewatch the episode, Tagi was in the lead initially, but Pagong caught up, got even, and then took the lead at the beach when Sonia stumbled such that Tagi was literally dragging her instead of her helping to lift the raft. And I mean, it was a 2-second slip. From what everybody says, you know, and there were issues with her shoes and she stepped into a little, I don't want to call it a ditch, but just a little area on the beach that, you know, there was no footing there. But it was, the thing is, it was such a basic and straightforward challenge compared to what we see today. I kept expecting there to be more. It was over so quickly. It was like,
I know,
okay, they're there and it's lit. I'm like, oh, where's the next phase? Where's the puzzle? Yeah.
Right. Where's the puzzle? Why are they not broken up into groups and multiple people doing different things? Yeah. No, and not that at all.
So because of that, it only took that one stumble. There was no chance to make up time elsewhere. There was nothing to solve, no other strengths to show off. It was swim, lift, run, done.
Right. Yeah. And that was it. And so it was very hard for her to hide because there wasn't any other component to that challenge but that.
Right.
So it was very, very clear when that happened, for sure.
Yeah. So I forgot to make a prop, so I'm making it right now.
What?
So
now we're doing crafts?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I wish you had warned me. I would have been making some. Well, I can knit. You know, I could do some things while we're on here. This would be great. You
know, when Sue was voting for sauna, she said she was removing, quote, the weakest link in the crew. And Rudy said it was because I think she's the reason we lost. You know, so Sonia, not sauna, told Josh in their interview a few years ago that she was perceived as the weakest link, and she probably would have done the same if she'd been in the younger player's shoes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hide from that. That's for sure.
Right. Now, was it the right move for all of the players to make? Probably. Rudy and Rich may have been annoying some of the others, but they both had knowledge and strength, which is, I think, what Sue saw in them. Right. And as much as I would have loved to see more of Sonia, I really hate the thought that we could have lost Rudy in the very first episode.
Oh, for sure. And I also am curious if that part of the reason why Sue made the decision that she made was because she's a very cutthroat, in your face kind of person. And that's how she played Survivor. She didn't hide from who she was. You knew exactly what she was thinking, and she told you exactly how she wanted to do certain things. Crazy respect for her. And the fact that she went to Sonia and tried to have this conversation.
Sauna.
And it ended up not going the way that Sue had wanted. I think for someone like Sue, she was probably pretty quick to say, okay, I'm not interested in keeping her around then, because she's not willing to make a decision, and she's not willing to stand by the decision she's making. She's a little bit wishy-washy. And I'm curious if maybe that's why things ended up the way that they did, because you had Richard and Rudy who were not like that at all. I mean, both of them were very clear with how they felt and giving their opinions on things. And I think Sue probably gravitated more towards that type of personality versus Sonia.
Right. All right. So with that, it's about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts?
I love that we got to do this. This was so much fun. Yeah. I was sitting at my kitchen table early one morning watching the episode, and my husband came walking in. He had just woken up and he heard the Survivor music, and he's like, uh-oh, what is going on? And I was very excited to tell him I'm watching the first season of Borneo. He knows it's my favorite season, and it has been, and I've already expressed why, because this is where it all developed from. This is where it all started from, and it created the game that we all know and love. And I think we have Sonia to thank for that, just as much as any other player that made it all the way to the end, like Richard Hatch. She gave it her all. She was certainly out there playing the role that she thought she was supposed to play. Obviously, the emotions took control for her. But again, she was being human. And this was a new game, something that we were all learning at the same time as were the people playing that game. They didn't have the David Bloomberg rules of Survivor to follow while they were playing this new game. And she certainly didn't have that. I do think that Sonia got there. She realized that she needed to work with certain people and make a decision that might not have made her comfortable, but it would have been the best thing for her game. So it just took her a little while to realize strategy over emotion. And unfortunately, she realized that a little too late. Obviously, after she got voted out, it really, you know, you realize, oh, maybe I should have thought about that differently sooner. But overall, great to watch, wonderful to see. And congrats to her for still being the oldest woman to ever play this game.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So you didn't see what shirt I'm wearing today, but there's a reason that I'm wearing it. This is the Ghostbusters shirt. Okay. Now, why am I wearing a Ghostbusters shirt for a Survivor podcast? Well, it goes back to what we call the Ghostbusters provision of the first rule. If someone asks you if you want to be in an alliance, you say yes. But when Sue approached Sonia to join up in voting against Rudy, Sonia was just too nice. She took the blame. She didn't want to vote out Rudy. And besides, she apparently wasn't very fond of Stacy. She initially was going to play emotionally. By the time she changed her mind, it doesn't appear that she checked back in with Sue like we talked about. And Sue had decided to change her own vote. I have no doubt that the Tagi tribe loved Sonia, but she was, by her own admission, the weakest member of the tribe, and her slip in the challenge caused them to lose. in a classic Rudyism from Mark Burnett's book. Rudy later said, "It's like when you've got a great dog that's sick. You don't want to put it down, but you know you have to." They had to vote out the weak for the good of their tribe. Even with an attempt at an alliance that would have kept her around, she accidentally nipped it in the bud. In season one, and especially episode one, there were no rules written yet, no guidebooks to go by. Each player had to figure it out on their own. Some banded together. Others played emotionally. One would eventually go according to the alphabet. And one would become the basis for so much of the strategically based gameplay we would see in the future, and indeed even for the rules I've been using as a yardstick ever since. But that person wasn't Sonya. She had a physical slip in the challenge and a strategic slip at camp when she was too honest with Sue. And that is why Sonya lost.
Look at you. I don't even feel like I should talk sometimes. I'm just going to let you go. That was an incredible quote.
Yeah.
Putting a dog down. Are you serious? Yeah.
Somehow that didn't make it into the episode.
No, know? But there's so many great Rudy quotes out there. Right. So many.
I actually have a whole book of them over. I'm pointing. Is it? Well,
another prop.
No, it's way too far away for me to use as a prop.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this was definitely a nice trip down memory lane for sure. Yes.
Well, we still have predictions, you know, but before we get to predictions,
I could actually maybe be right.
Maybe. excuse me. Too much laughing.
I can't laugh.
Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are now available in both poster and T-shirt form for the shirt. Hold on. I've dropped my props here. There it is.
You have too many. Too many props.
Or the shirt. Mm-hmm. Go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click on the merch link and sort to see newer items first. For the poster, go to tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. And now we can go on to predictions. Now, of course, we're not going to make predictions because that would be silly. But
damn it.
As I sat there rewatching this first episode, it didn't look good for Richard and Rudy.
No.
Richard was seen as a pompous ass and he voted completely by himself. If we saw this happening now, we'd be like, he's out.
Oh, right.
You know, Rudy was the target of almost half the tribe and seen as too bossy. Putting myself into the mindset of someone watching this for the first time, I would not have expected those two to get very far.
I know. And that's what made it so delicious when they did. I remember watching the last episode and the reveal that Richard had won. And it was like the scream heard around the world, I feel like, because that moment is one of those moments I will never forget, because you had such a response to Richard. And I think it was because of the way that he played this game, and you saw it right from the get-go. He wasn't apologizing for who he was. He was going to be himself, and that guy took control. And I just, it was fascinating to see how he did so. Even in this episode, even though he didn't vote with anyone, he was kind of like laying it all out there. And I really think setting up for the future of the game, but also realizing he was probably going to be in trouble, and also recognizing if they don't like Rudy, they certainly don't like me. So he was very aware of what was happening. And it was incredibly impressive to watch him develop his game as the season progressed and just almost run circles around people. It was really, really incredible.
Yeah. Now, on the other tribe, there was Bibi, and I also wouldn't have expected him to get very far. The difference is, in that case, I would have been right.
Right. Yes. But two very different approaches. I mean, you have Richard, who is sitting in a tree kind of trying to give direction. And then you have Bibi, who is actually doing all of the work and getting agitated with people who are not doing the work and saying things to them about their lack of work. And it's just, it was a much different approach, you know, that you can be headstrong in two different ways. And for whatever reason, Richard was able to utilize the way that he was presenting that in a fashion that got him obviously to the end and to win the game. Whereas Bibi, not so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one prediction I can make is what we're going to do next episode. And that is that Rob announced we will be doing season 2, episode 2. Now, I won't spoil the result in case you haven't seen it yet, but I will say that I did at the time several interviews with the person who was voted out, both, you know, shortly after and then as his life progressed for at least like a year or two. I interviewed this person. So we'll see what kind of information we can glean from those. I haven't started looking at them again yet. But yeah, we'll, you know, it'll be interesting to see what we can get out of those.
You have to delve into that war chest again.
That's right. Now, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Once you join, you'll see that Rob does at least 9 patron-only call-in shows a month, plus weekly Q&A show with Nicole, plus patron trivia, plus who knows what else. And there several shows have been live streaming to the patrons, such as The Wiggle Room. Plus, you know, and I hesitate to even talk about this right now, but there are discounts and first access to live show tickets when there are live shows again. In the meantime, there are the Facebook groups to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us. You could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. You know, so remember again to go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Yes, it is a wonderful group of individuals who clearly love all of the same things that you do if you become a member. So if you haven't, you certainly should. And then, yes, there's a world of things that you can talk about and people who are very willing to talk to you about those things. So all things Survivor, Big Brother, everything else under the sun. It's a great group of people. You should definitely join.
Okay. And how else can they communicate with us?
Oh, I always forget about that, don't I? So those little, you know, names below each of our pictures on our new format here. I know, isn't that crazy? So on Twitter, you can follow me at JessicaLewis89, and you can also follow David at David Bloomberg. You should follow us both. We do live tweet during the episodes when Survivor is actually on the air, but then we also post throughout the week about all kinds of random topics. So you should definitely follow us both at JessicaLewis89 or at David Bloomberg.
Yes. Now it's time for a hashtag. And I have a hashtag.
Highlight?
No. Well, we could do that. I had hashtag sauna.
Sauna, I like it. Sauna. That's great.
Oh, we could do hashtag coughing attack here.
That's okay. It happens.
All right. Hashtag sauna.
I like it.
And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, YXLost. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're subscribed, everyone, to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the Reality TV Wrap Ups feed. In both places, you can find great content. I know for sure that the Wiggle Room and the B&B will be doing the same thing we are, you know, going through each week. So you'll want to make sure you're subscribed so you get all of those and, you know, can follow along as we go week to week.
Excellent. And we also need to say thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre for all of the wonderful editing that he does on both the video podcast and our audio podcast. And also thank you to Will from America, who does the wonderful song that you hear on the audio podcast. So thank you to both of those fine gentlemen for all of the great work they do for Why Blank Lost.
Yes. And thank you, Jessica, for another great week. We have basically not had an off week. We had the end of the season. We did the Q&A show. And then, like, we had an extra day before we record, you know, a week and a day instead of just a week before we recorded this. So,
yes, my entire family is confused because they're like, wait, what? You have another? Why are you doing a podcast? There's Survivor's
over. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. Very confused.
So. Yeah. So, but we will. And we will be continuing, like I said, next week with season 2, episode 2. And we will see you next week for another blast from the past. Bye.
Bye.
You lost Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this